Probably not.
This is a subcommittee on human services. This is March 10th, 2015. I'm losing my voice. It's 8:30 a.m. We have three work sessions this morning. I think it's called Grant Day, right?
This
Tuesday will become Grant Day for us.
Mr. Chair.
So if all goes well, we should be out here very quickly. If all doesn't go well, it will be a longer session.
Be here till tomorrow. We'll
see. would you lead us through it, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, like you said, there are three federal requests to apply for grants, all from Public Health in the Oregon Health Authority. And just to get you ready for things to come, although this isn't like a regular program presentation, tomorrow we'll start the regular presentations from OHA for the next several weeks. So we're kind of changing gears here.
So can you walk us through the first grant?
Let's just have Kate. Yeah.
We hear you better if you're up here.
Yeah.
Something about the microphone.
About introduce yourself to the committee and for the record.
Yeah. Good morning, Co-Chair Bates and Co-Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. My name is Kate Wilcox. I'm the manager for the Maternal and Child Health section in the Public Health Division of the Oregon Health Authority. And I'm here to request approval to apply for the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Agency, SAMHSA, the Project Launch Expansion Grant. Launch stands for Linking Actions for Unmet Needs in Children's Health. Oregon has received two prior project launch grants, one in Deschutes County and one in Multnomah County. And the goal of those grants was to improve early childhood systems, strengthening parenting competencies, and improve children's development and behavioral outcomes. The goal of this grant is to expand on and replicate strategies from those prior two grants and systems work in three new communities. So the strategies that we are wanting to take forward based on those prior two grants are three. First, to improve maternal mental health community systems and supports. Two, to link parent-child interaction therapy with primary care and community-based organizations. And three, to provide mental health consultation for child care and home visiting providers to improve their capacity to support positive infant and child mental health development. The funding opportunity requires that we emphasize on decreasing racial and ethnic behavioral health disparities within the state. So in collaboration with the Addictions and Mental Health Division, we identified the Latino population as the focus for this grant. It's the fastest growing racial and ethnic group in Oregon. And as stated in their report, Children's Mental Health Assuring Access and Sustaining Services from 2012 to 16, children of Hispanic or Latino ethnicity are much less likely to receive mental health services. So it seemed like an appropriate population for this grant. We've identified the counties that have the highest Latino population from the 2010 census, and we'll be partnering with three out of these five: Hood River, Malheur, Marion, Morrow, or Umatilla. In addition, we've been working with the Early Learning Division, the OHA Transformation Center, and the Oregon Child Development Center, as well as the Addictions and Mental Health Division, as key partners in this effort. So this grant is a four-year grant providing up to $680,000 per year for a total of $2,720,000 for the grant period. The grant period is October 1st, 2015 through September 30, 2019. It requires no state matching funds or maintenance of effort, but it will require that we have one full-time FTE position to provide the overall grant management and programmatic leadership and coordination. So with that, I'm happy to entertain questions you might have.
Questions?
Are you going to repurpose staff then to do this?
Co-chairs and Representative Kenny Geyer, yes, we have the state lead who was working on our prior state program, the Deschutes County one. She has been moved on to some of our other projects, but she's writing the grant and would be pulled back onto this, so it would be a repurposing. But she was limited duration, so we have to renew her limited duration. We're also looking to contract with Multnomah Education Service District to employ the local Multnomah County lead to provide services for this project, too, should we get the grant.
Can follow up? I'm just wondering, is that Alana Emlyn on this lead?
Yes.
So I watched her launch many years ago, and I've been really impressed by the work. I'm delighted that you're expanding.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Do I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request.
Approve the request. Any questions? Seeing none. Anybody objecting? Seeing none, so moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second.
One day.
Two to go. The second one on my schedule is.
Here, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry.
Who wants to carry this in full? Representative Kitty Geyer?
I'm not there.
Who's in full? I'm not going to be here this Friday. Can you do it?
And it won't be this Friday.
I'll be there in spirit.
We're not having full this Friday. Yeah, so it'll probably not be for a week.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get a carrier anyway, so we don't scramble later.
Okay.
You happy now?
I'm happy now.
Good. The second one is the Oral Health Workforce Grant, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And that's also Kate.
Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. I'm still Kate Wilcox, Maternal and Child Health Section Manager for the Oregon Public Health Division in the Oregon Health Authority. I am requesting approval to apply for the Federal Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA's Oral Health Workforce Development Grant. For context, Oregon has received two prior oral health workforce grants from HRSA. In 2009, it was the First Tooth Project, which looked at training oral health providers in working with the early pediatric population. And then in 2012, we received a second one to increase the statewide school-based dental sealant program and utilizing expanded practice dental hygienists. So this would be a carry on, but it must be different work than we've done in the prior two. So the intent of this grant is to develop and implement workforce programs designed to support innovative oral health service delivery models and to increase access to high-quality oral health services for underserved populations located in dental health professional shortage areas, HISPAs, or in other areas designated as underserved. So our grant application has two focuses. First, the Oral Health Program will partner with the Oregon Health and Science University Department of Community Dentistry to strengthen collaboration between senior dental students and dental hygienists through the Oregon Statewide School-Based Dental Sealant Program. The grant funding will provide OHSU an opportunity to establish sustainable community-based dental education program whereby senior dental students are placed throughout the year in rural community-based clinics, primarily FQHCs. And then the OHSU Rural Health Campus in Klamath Falls will pilot expanding coordinated care to disadvantaged populations and test the feasibility of using teledentistry technology in rural communities. So that's the first part of this application. And the second part is that the Public Health Division Oral Health Program will collaborate with the Oregon Institute of Technology Dental Hygiene Department to establish a comprehensive certified dental health program in their Klamath Falls campus. The program will provide its voluntary certification, dental sealant certification program, and curriculum for school-based dental health sealants. Local organizations can be certified, assuring a minimum set of standards will be met while dental hygienists deliver the dental sealant services in a school setting. So the grant will establish school-based dental sealant program in the city of Klamath Falls schools and then expand into the rural, into the county as they're certified. So at the conclusion of the grant, people living in the rural and underserved areas will have improved access to preventive and restorative oral health care. And it aligns with our existing projects in building stronger partnerships with these dental training institutions. This grant is a three-year grant providing up to $500,000 per year for a total of $1.5 million. Grant period is from September 1st, 2015 through August 30, 2018. It requires no maintenance of effort, but it does require 40% matching funds. And the match will be achieved through in-kind contributions from the Oregon Institute of Technology Dental Hygiene Department, the Oral Health Coalition, and the trainee supervisors, the preceptors, from the community-based clinics that will be precepting the dental students, the senior dental students. The grant requires two new positions, one FTE of project management to oversee all the grant activities and grants management, and a 0.5 FTE for data evaluation to oversee all of those evaluation requirements of the grant. And I'm happy to take questions.
Representative Kenny Guy.
Thank you. Again, I'm delighted about this. I'm mm-hmm. wondering if you can provide a little bit of a wider context in terms of what your what maternal and child health is doing for oral health at the earlier years, since Sealance, there's a lot of attention on Sealance, first, second, third grade. But
right.
I'm curious in particular about fluoride varnish, some
right.
bills that are coming up in the session.
Right. And we are paying, co-chairs
You're
and
right
members
there.
Of the committee, Representative Kenny Guyer, we are paying close attention to all of those. Our work ebbs and flows quite a bit depending on the funding streams that we get. So the sole general fund that we get is for dental sealants. So we have the statewide school-based dental sealant program. We also have the dental pilot project. And all the other funding that we get is federally oriented. And so we are paying close attention to those other bills because we know that the farther upstream you get, the more lifelong impact you have. And so we're paying attention to that as well. And in addition, I think I was here a few weeks ago asking for permission to apply for the perinatal and infant oral health grant. And we did get that grant submitted on time, and we're hopeful that we will get it. So we're trying to broaden our spectrum. This program is unique also because not only is it, while it's seated in the maternal and child health section, it does cover the whole lifespan, and so we're trying to also not forget the seniors in all of this, too. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a big fan of Sealants, too. I just don't think we do enough in the state and across the nation. I'm not a big fan of fluoride. We're not talking about that today, but Sealants really work. And I think this is a great program. I'd like to see some more detail on this, too, outside of this meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know if you've been talking to the dental care organizations about them taking part in this, and if they are, how much they're putting into it. I'd love to see, you know, dental sealants across the state for all kids before they even get to school and follow them through. If you really want to stop caries, that's the way you do it.
Right.
Also, it appears to me, looking at this, that some of these students will be going into areas of people of ethnic minorities, which I appreciate also, not just Klamath Falls, which is a rural community that needs help, as many of our rural communities do. So I don't get very excited about many grants, but this one actually looks like it's going to actually bring some value to us.
Great.
So I'm very much in favor of it, and I'd like to see what the overall program looks like when we get a chance. Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Just a quick comment, if I could. I think the other thing to point out about this is the way you're leveraging service and education at the same time. And I think we don't do enough of that. And that's not to say that people who need extra service should only get it from people who are in training, but that is to say that as we try to grow our healthcare professional workforce, we are short on training opportunities and clinical experience for them. So giving the hygienists and the dental students and everybody all these opportunities is pretty darn cool, and I love the way that you're leveraging and pulling together all these areas. So I think that's another really important aspect of this grant. So thank you, Ms. Wilcox. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any further comments? Can I hear a motion again?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request.
We have a motion to approve the request. Any questions? Anybody opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How about grant number three? Another carrier.
I'm happy to do
that. What do you think? Yeah, this could be slam dunk stuff. This is a request for teen pregnancy prevention grant. I'd like to come back up and give us your name, yourself, committee, and tell us about the grant.
Yes, be happy to. Good morning, Co-Chair Bates, Co-Chair Nathanson, and members of the committee. My name is Jessica Duke, and I'm the manager of adolescent and school health programs with the Public Health Division in the Oregon Health Authority. Thank you for your time today. I'm here to request approval to apply for the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Adolescent Health, capacity building to support replication of evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs cooperative agreement. This is a new opportunity. The goal of the cooperative agreement is to fund intermediary organizations, which would be the Public Health Division, to provide capacity-building assistance to youth-serving organizations to replicate evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs in a defined service area with demonstrated need. If granted this opportunity, the Oregon Public Health Division would be able to provide capacity-building assistance to three Eastern Oregon counties, provide financial support to the county health departments for program implementation of evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs, and collaborate with community partners in Eastern Oregon, coordinated care organizations, other youth-serving organizations, and schools. So capacity-building assistance, in the terms of this cooperative agreement, consists of program staffing, engaging community stakeholders, developing community needs assessment, budget planning, sustainability planning, selecting an evidence-based program that meets the needs of the community, providing training to implement the program, program monitoring and evaluation, and ongoing technical assistance. The three counties that we're looking at serving are Baker, Malheur, and Umatilla, and those counties were selected based on their much higher teen birth rates vis-a-vis our statewide rate, and also their willingness and eagerness to participate. And evidence-based programs, per this grant, are selected by the federal government. There are over 30 programs to choose from, and all are known to have outcomes that lead to lower teen pregnancy rates. This is a five-year cooperative agreement providing up to $750,000 per year for a total of $3,750,000. The program period is July 2015 through June 2020, and it requires no state matching funds or maintenance of effort. In our original letter to the committee, there was an ask for 2.5 positions, 1.5 of those positions being new. This has been reconsidered. To meet the requirements of this opportunity, we will realign one position to oversee this program and hire one new research analyst position to assure we meet the evaluation capacity required by the cooperative agreement. This federal cooperative agreement allows adolescent and school health to continue our work outlined in the Oregon Youth Sexual Health Plan and assure that youth in the underserved area of Eastern Oregon have access to the information and services needed so that they can make healthy choices. I'm happy to entertain questions.
Questions?
Representative Boone? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment that although none of these grants are going to be targeting my district, I'm happy to see that they are going to more of the rural counties. And somebody ought to talk to Senator Ferrioli and Representative Vance and let them know how well they've done today.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. They're going to love some of these grants.
That's assuming that they're in support.
Yeah. I've got some questions about this, but you guys go first.
And I thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. Can you provide us with just a one sheet? The teen pregnancies by county. We've got 36 counties, and you've identified three of those 36. Number one, and what the trends look like over, and I'd take within the last 5 years or three, if you can't get five.
Sure.
And what that looks like for those counties, because those counties have some dynamics going on that maybe you don't find in Multnomah and also in Marion County. And that would be very helpful. And I think that's where the background is going as well. So go ahead. I'll leave.
Thanks. Thanks for the lead-in. I like to see the age of the teenage pregnancies, and more importantly, if they're planned or unplanned. Some areas have different cultures than the cities do, and sometimes there's earlier marriages, and some people are 18 or 19 on their first child, and they have a wonderful family, and they're working out there on a ranch, and there's not a problem, okay? Secondly, if you talk to the county commissioners in those areas, how they feel about this program, has there been any outreach? If we get the grant, what else could be accepted by those communities?
Yes, so thank you, Co-Chair Senator Bates, particularly. We are working with those county health departments. We actually have already had an initial meeting with them, and we'll certainly loop in the county commissioners working with those county health departments in collaboration on that. It's very important to do that early on.
Yeah, the health department might hold a different opinion than the counties they're serving sometimes, and the county commissioners are usually closer to their population than anybody else. It's a little concerning to me you haven't had that discussion already. I don't want to run into a buzzsaw, you know, something like this going out there. I've lived in a rural community and brought programs to them I thought were just pretty straightforward, and it didn't work out quite that way. Okay. Yeah.
Co-Chair Senator Bates, if I may, the beauty of this thing is that, well, they do have to select an evidence-based program from a list of 30. There are 30 different programs to select from, and the first year of the grant is really working with the community to select a program that fits that community. And the federal programs run a wide gamut. Some of the programs are really just around positive youth development, really don't address teen pregnancy directly, but they're known if implemented in the community, they have a positive effect on teen pregnancy rates. So that's really the beauty of this grant, is we have a lot of time to work in collaboration with the communities to select a program that fits their needs. And we will certainly, to Senator Winters' point, we can get you those five-year trend data pretty quickly. And Senator Winters, you'll be happy to know that in Marion County, the rate's been decreasing.
Can I follow up, Mr. Chair? Because and I, not just to you, but I think to others should come to testify, you know, recognizing that in the state of Oregon, the needs and the desires, should be probably the better stated, may be different from county to county. And I think that what Senator Bates is trying to encourage you to have those conversations with particularly county commissioners and those officials who are there day-to-day to understand the heartbeat of those communities. And even though there may be a selection of 30 different kinds of plans, at still, you still may occur some resistance. So I'm just, the FYI is to make certain that you've got those communities, you know, and somewhat in agreement with the path that you're taking. So I
Thank you for putting a sort of a cap on that. I appreciate it. Just want to warn you, okay?
No, absolutely.
Been there, done
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got you know, still got the bruise to show it, and it was 20 years ago. Okay, so and yet they're very open to other programs, and they're really happy to have those programs to help their youth too. So if you can find something, if you get the grant and you can find something that fits there, great. But I would always start with the county commissioners in rural Oregon. Those counties have very small populations, and those county commissioners know their people.
Absolutely.
They really do. It's not like Multnomah County, where you have a million people, three commissioners.
Right.
You know, out there you have three commissioners and two people, so.
Right.
You know, it's a little different, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Happy to do that.
Nancy, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The grant request is described as serving rural and frontier Oregon. There's a request to add staff positions. Will those positions be located close to where the program activities are happening, or will it be a staff person sitting at a desk in Salem?
Good point.
Thank you, Co-Chair Bates, Co-Chair Nathanson. Some staff will be at the state office. We really have the experience in working with communities to bring on teen pregnancy prevention programs. But each county will get a good portion of this grant to hire staffing in their community. And so the budget is naturally still being figured out because we haven't applied for the grant yet. But each county will have enough to support a staff position in their county health department.
A follow-up, please?
Absolutely. You asked a great question.
I appreciate your description that the agency has the experience to understand the issues and the programs and services and talk about them or work with local communities. But I'm just wondering why the choice is to locate the position. If this position is really spending full time tracking, monitoring, analyzing data coming from a community, why that position should be located somewhere here instead of where the stuff is happening.
Great. Co-Chair Bates, Co-Chair Nathanson, thank you very much for that question. Two things. That one is that this grant is particularly for an intermediary organization to provide capacity building assistance, and there are very stringent requirements around the experience of that agency. Unfortunately, to our knowledge, there is not an agency with that capacity building experience in teen pregnancy prevention that we have located in Eastern Oregon. prevention. And we actually, there are several federal teen pregnancy prevention grants open right now, and we have been working with, through our Council of Local Health Officials at the Public Health Division, we've been working with communities across the state around what they're able to apply for to try and help them apply if they can draw down some funds. So the specifics of this grant requirement make it actually necessary for the State Public Health Division here in Oregon to have some positions and be that intermediary organization. And the Eastern Oregon counties, through the county health department officials, when we spoke with them, they actually said that we do not have the capacity to apply for this grant on their own.
Follow it up, absolutely.
I can certainly see that the expertise rests with the agency and maybe not with a local organization, but there are state employees working all over the state of Oregon. I would just hope that someone might be interested in living in the community that they're working with instead of the reverse, living remotely and maybe once or twice a year going to visit the people who they might be talking with every day. It could be the reverse. It's just a thought. Thank you. Yeah. I don't want to take up more
time.
I want to follow up a little bit, too, because it leads to a bigger question we're dealing with, and not just with you, but across the board, of how we centralize everything in Salem, and we don't take care of and we don't really work with our rural people, whether on the coast, whether in Southern Oregon, or out east. I don't understand why, with the modern electronics we have and the way to communicate and the way we can Skype, that this whole program isn't sitting out in Baker or Ontario or LeGrand. I see no excuse for that. The expertise is here. You could move some of it out there. I would think twice about this, if you would, please. It's just people get so centralized in the Willamette Valley, you just naturally think you can't move anything out there, and you can't. But it takes a little more effort. So please think about that. Okay. And I'm not from Eastern Oregon.
Okay. Right.
I like it out there, but I'm not from Eastern Oregon. You know, that's why they look to Boise for everything, because we ignore them. They're a different time zone and we ignore them, and that's not right.
Yeah. Point well taken.
Okay. There was a couple more hands down here.
Thank you, Chair. I'd be interested in seeing the list of the 30 evidence-based programs that you guys already have and are considering. And I'm wondering if you know offhand, are any of those faith-based? And can a community choose a faith-based one if they want? The primary reason I ask, even though you're not really dealing with my communities with this program, in Southern Oregon, there's actually a faith-based program that has been extremely successful and has gathered a lot of support from multiple, not just one faith, but multiple people, and I'd be interested in seeing if their program would be eligible for something like this. So.
Great.
Bishop with the Lord?
Silver ring thing.
Co-chairs and Representative Stark, thank you. I can share that list of evidence-based programs with you. It is federally determined. My understanding, I have a familiarity with all the programs, but I don't want to misspeak. But I can let you know, Representative Stark, I don't believe that program that you mentioned, Silver Ring Thing, is on the list of evidence-based programs, but our office would be happy to work with them to help them get on the evidence-based programs. There are a number of hoops you need to jump through, but you can make a request for researchers to look at your program and determine the evidence. So I'd be happy to do some follow-up on that.
Thank you. I just have a request. Based on all the conversation that we've had today on this panel and the questions that we have, should you be successful in being awarded the grant, I would like you to come back before this panel and others to actually give us a response to some of the questions that have been raised here. I think so often we ask pertinent questions and then we just assume that things are going quite well. And personally on this one, it is an issue that I think that we're all concerned about. And I think some of us would like to follow up with our colleagues who actually are affected by this decision that we may make. And so I would just like to have you return to come back, Mr. Richard.
It's a great idea.
I'd be happy to.
You know, it's a program. I think it has great promise for Eastern Oregon. But you know, if you bring the word sex or you bring the word taxes to this place, you get a lot of attention.
I understand. Believe me.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Representative Olson. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you. That's okay. We'll have to talk about that afterwards.
Don't take it personally.
In your letter, you met, it identifies that counties in Eastern Oregon have over twice the state rate of teen births. Mm-hmm. I don't recall you explaining what that was all about. Why is that?
Well, I can answer that question for you. It's very, actually takes quite a bit of work to understand why, excuse me, co-chairs and Representative Olson, takes quite a bit of work to understand why rates may fluctuate one way or the other. And we are aware that evidence-based programs, which really run the gamut from really focusing on giving youth messages around not having sex and making that healthy decision for themselves, to making sure that youth have access to the health care that they need. We know that those are effective at reducing teen pregnancy. As far as the increased rate in Eastern Oregon, you've all mentioned that it's an area of the state that is often ignored, and I will acknowledge that. Our county health department partners say that we really want to do something that's community-focused that addresses teen pregnancy, and to do that, you really need to spend some time working with the community. I will say to Senator Bates' earlier point around the teen pregnancy rate and maybe some cultural things. In Eastern Oregon, we will be looking at the cultural aspects of the older teen pregnancy rate, the 18 to 19-year-old rate. And if those older youth are making that decision and having healthy birth outcomes and are on a positive trajectory, that's not something we're going to try and change. And we're really looking at preventing pregnancy for younger youth, which, you know, data shows that they do not have positive long-term outcomes for the parents themselves or their children. But it's a difficult, there's a lot of community nuances to why rates may be higher in some areas versus another.
Mr. Chair, I just can't help it, because that same response can go for any part of our community, whether we're talking about Multnomah County, Marion County, or and not just the Eastern Oregon. I still would like to require the agency to come back with more specificity, and I personally will be talking to the senator and the representatives who are responsible for these particular counties.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'd be happy to come back with specificity. It will take us some time to do this capacity building in these areas and really be able to share that information with you.
Representative Olson.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, could contributing factor toward this be because there's a lack of work out there? Because that's all they have available for them to do anyways. I mean, I'm just, you know, being candid here.
You want to find out what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate your answer, but I didn't get an answer from you.
There are potential ethic issues.
Co-chairs and Representative Olson, if I may. I'm not answering the question because, frankly, I can't answer the question now. Economics are certainly a factor in that. Mm-hmm. You do see higher pregnancy rates sometimes in areas with low economic opportunity. Again, hopefully this grant will allow us to address many facets. Part of the grant will be implementing this evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention program. But ideally, it will help us look at teen pregnancy prevention holistically, and that's part of our goals in our program. And the Oregon Youth Sexual Health Plan really tries not to just look at teen pregnancy prevention, but look at what else is going on the community, what are the disparities, what is the economic situation, what's the educational attainment situation. We recognize that that is all part of the issue.
I guess, you know, now, I appreciate that. But it goes back now with what I've heard Representative Nathanson say, and as well as you, Mr. Chair, about having some hands-on being there. To be able to control it from and oversee it from Salem just doesn't make sense to me. I know the best fit is to be right there involved.
Couldn't agree more.
If I may, co-chairs and Representative Olson.
We're going to go back and forth, because this is going to be a common theme we're going to see, not just through
that's
your
fine.
Program.
Yep.
We're not picking on you.
No, that's fine, okay. And I'm happy for it. If I can make a comment on Representative Olson's last comment. So what would be great is if we can get this grant, use the capacity and the experience at the State Health Department, work with them for 5 years, and 5 years from now, those Eastern Oregon counties have their own capacity where they're in a position to apply for such grants on their own, and we'd be supportive of that.
Mr. Chair, I'm going crazy.
Let her go first.
I think you need to go first.
I'm going crazy because what you're talking about is capacity building, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And
this is supposed to be an easy morning.
It shouldn't take you 5 years to do capacity building in those smaller counties. I'm going sitting up here, just kind of one who used to do this before we start talking about capacity and organizing and what have you. And so I'm trying to actually wrap my head around, you know, specifically what you're going to do. And we all are concerned that in the what, that you have somebody from the community do that what, because they're closer to actually both the need identification mm-hmm. as well as helping to carry out the solution. So for me, spewing out the bureaucratic, the new word is capacity building. I don't care what agency, what we're trying to do, it's called capacity without the actual full explanation of the what. And so I'm very perplexed by this, and I think that you're not talking about, one, how you're going to do the needs assessment, and then how you're going to actually solve the problems that you identified, and then who's going to be the players. So that's where I am, and that's why I asked for the return to this body.
Okay, co-chairs and center winners. As we're developing this grant, it's not due until April 1st, so it's still under development. One thing is we're looking at 4 long-term trips a year out to Eastern Oregon, and around the needs assessment process that we'll probably do is called participatory youth action research, where we actually engage young researchers to assess their community needs. Again, this grant will support staff on the ground in Eastern Oregon. We will work with the county health departments, county commissioners, schools, faith-based communities. We will help those counties pull all the people who may have an interest in teen pregnancy prevention together, including businesses. It's really going to probably take a different flavor in every county. But part of our work is getting that all in motion and set up with the staff that will be hired from this grant in the counties, and then really help them take it forward and move it. This is a 5-year grant. Looking at what we know about Eastern Oregon and their teen pregnancy prevention rates, it will probably take a while to get traction on it. We do have the opportunity in this grant to move to other communities later in the grant if everything is going well in the communities that we're working in. I hope that answers some of your questions, and I'm happy to return with more specificity.
No, Representative Boone has a question. I'll have one last one.
I do, and I have to bring this up. I wish this discussion had taken place in the 70s when I first moved to a rural area, and we were going through the first land use planning stuff, and we discovered that the state sent people from Salem, and this old brain remembers her name was Claire. She was a size 5. She wore a brown suit. And she was so full of herself and she had this attitude. And after that meeting, people said, we have got to do something. We can't just let them run herd on us. So then that translated a little bit into Division of State Lands issues. And pretty soon, it was in the mid-80s or something, I'd had it. And every time I would go to these meetings, it'd be somebody from, and here we are in Salem. Yep, I'm not dissing Salem, but
now you're part of it.
Yeah, and exactly. And so the state would send somebody from somewhere else into these communities, and I'm just going to pick on the rurals and in my rural community, to do this work and whatever, lay out a program, whatever it is, and the people were just like, it was there, just listen to us, we'll take care of everything, we know better than you. And that, it didn't work, so I made a suggestion that they have regional people and choose a regional person who lived and worked in that area, be that state agency employee that did that, and it didn't happen for a while, but now I'm seeing that more and more. We have locals who do this work, and that's when I ran for county commissioner to try to help facilitate that. But that really is, I mean, I'm hearing these guys say that, and Doc Bates is right. I mean, there are different cultural issues, ethical issues, and all that, and far be it from me to say that I know best for his area, for one thing, but I just thank you for people for vindicating me after all these years.
You were right.
Thank you.
All right, Elizabeth.
Mr.
Senator Steiner,
thank you. You know, I may not have been listening carefully, although I think I'm trying to. But I didn't hear a word about the CCO.
Co-chairs and Senator Steiner here, we will be collaborating with EOCCO.
I didn't read it.
That's quite all right.
I think the CCOs are charged with doing community needs assessments, and if in fact the teen pregnancy rate is higher there, and these are more likely, not guaranteed, but more likely to be babies that are born via Medicaid insurance, since 50% of babies in the state are born via Medicaid insurance, and certainly that's more true for teen parents. I guess I'd like to hear, I think that is an organization that's on the ground there and may have a much better sense of what's going on in those communities and have closer ties to community partners. And it really seems like a lot of the capacity building ought to be working with not only all these other organizations, but with the CCOs to help them, because in fact, that's also one of the new metrics for CCOs is whether women who are sexually active or might become sexually active in a heterosexual relationship and are at risk of becoming pregnant are using a method of birth control that's effective and works well for them.
Yes.
So I think we need to be thinking about that as well.
Yes, co-chairs and Senator Hayward, thank you for that comment. We definitely will be collaborating with the CCO, again, through our county health department partners. That's just a very traditional way of how public health works. I'm hearing today that we might want to think about having more regional public health folks, and I think that that's a sort of bigger agency question that is really great to consider. With coordinated care organizations, there's not only the effective method of birth control metric, but there's also the adolescent well visit metric. And we think that there can be a lot of leverage on here. And again, with adolescent well visit, it gives you the opportunity to address sexual health in the broader context of overall general health, which is really important and really how we would like to do it. So yes, we absolutely will be collaborating with the CCO there.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a question here and come back to you. You said you'd be taking 4 long-term trips out there during this first year. Who exactly is going to go out there?
So we currently have, as I said, we'll be realigning one of our positions. We currently have a youth sexual health coordinator position, and the funding for that position has moved with some changing priorities in federal grants, again, being federally funded. This changes. We've long had that position in public health division for well over 20 years. The person's name is Sheila Johnson. She's already made an exploratory trip out to Eastern Oregon, met with representatives from the county health departments there, I trust that she will not be someone who will come in. She certainly won't be wearing a brown suit. I trust that she will really be working on building the capacity of the community to be able to take this and move it forward.
Does she have a statewide responsibility, or is this going to just be her program?
The position is a statewide responsibility position. This will be the program area that she will concentrate on.
So she be the one person in Salem, and the rest of the people who will be hired will be in Eastern Oregon?
There will be Sheila Johnson at the State Public Health Division, which is in Portland, and then a research analyst in Portland as well.
The research analyst, does he or she have a statewide responsibility?
The research analyst will be responsible for this grant solely.
Think about moving that person.
Okay. It will be a new hire, so.
Why not put him in Ontario or put him in Baker City? You know Dr. Chuck Huffman?
I do not.
That's somebody you need to talk to immediately about this program if you get the grant.
Yeah, and I'll connect you with the family physicians out there, too. Yeah.
He's former mayor of Baker City, well-respected out there, strong family physician, and he knows everybody in Eastern Oregon.
Yeah.
They all know him.
Yeah.
A key person to meet with.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
you're next.
You brought up the most interesting point, and I think this theme should continue with not just this agency, but with other agencies, and that is how we're deploying and how our utilization staff. Often, and you're right, that, and I can even remember when I was the ombudsman and had to go to Ontario, that during that period of time, they wanted to succeed from Oregon because they are so forgotten and left out. And it's not just that part of the state. It's other parts of the state and the rural communities who do not. And I think we need to really begin to think of how we connect with those and how we actually don't superimpose what our own thoughts and feelings are, that we're the grand people coming in to solve their problems. I gotta go.
Gotta go. Well, she always gets the last word and leaves.
Thank you, sir.
I saw another hand down here. This was supposed to be a quick, easy meeting this morning, but we've opened up a really good topic, I think. I really think so. It's something we'll be dealing with all the way through this session. And when public health comes back, we'll have a further discussion, too. But I thought I saw another hand down here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually don't really expect a response, but just something that when Senator Hayward brought up the CCO, it made me think about the undocumented population and how they're not covered by the CCOs, and how I'm assuming in the teen pregnancy rates that we get back, as well as graduation rates in high school and every other indicator, that population is included. And of course, when they have babies, those are American-born babies and get added to our Medicaid rolls. And you know, I'm not sure that I'm trying to put you on the spot and ask whether this grant is directed at that or not, other than I think it's a population that is invisible and we often don't think about. And you know, it's a conversation I think we need to continue to have about.
I think you're going to find some significant ethnic issues here. Native Americans, mm-hmm. Latinos, people in poverty. Mm-hmm. I think you'll find some interesting statistics here that will help guide the program and help people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I like to see as many people move to the Eastern Oregon for this program as possible. I think it'll actually be a better program for you. That's if you even get the grant. You may not get the grant. Hope you do.
Okay. We do, too.
All right. Any other questions, discussion? We've managed to make this almost an hour meeting. Oh,
well, yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
Might as well go
but
for
it's not with this. It's just another thing. I just wanted to get it on the record. And some of my colleagues may have been visited by folks from the domestic violence group yesterday, but I was visited by my class up chair and or director of our services there. And one of the things that we discussed that came up that might help, if I don't know, we hear the word every once in a while, relief nursery, and it kind of floats in and out, but it's a really, really good program. We all know that it does have excellent results, and I think that something like that might be very, I just think we should elevate that more. There are two new ones coming in Yamhill County, and I'm working on one to come into Clatsop County and trying to connect people. There are people working on these, but they have a 98% success rate. And I just think that this is something we have to have this conversation about. We have to make sure they get funding. This is the quintessential prevention program, in my opinion. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you for indulging me.
Thank you.
Twice today.
So I would entertain a motion, please, after 45 minutes.
Mr. Chair, move that we approve the request to apply for a federal grant regarding teen pregnancy prevention.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll move to full ways and means with a recommendation to approve.
To pass.
Yeah, to pass. I can never remember the exact wording.
Right.
Sorry about that. I don't have the paper in front of me.
We have a motion that the committee vote to move the federal grant for teen pregnancy prevention grant into full ways and means with due pass recommendation. Any objections? We've had enough discussion, so any objections? Seeing none, so moved.
Great.
Thanks for indulging us.
Oh, my pleasure, absolutely, and I will have some follow-up items to you.
Thank you
so much.
Now the question becomes, who cares? I think I'd like to have Senator Winters maybe.
I didn't have fine plans.
But you get her the information she needs, okay?
Yes.
She has to do some follow-up in Eastern Oregon representatives and senators, and I think that'll work a lot better. So I think our work is completed.
Mm-hmm. So right. I got the list of 30 evidence-based programs and teen pregnancy rate trends over 5 years by EMT. Get that to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Our work is done today. Sorry to make it long, but it was actually a great conversation as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
And hope it was for the rest of you. And we are adjourned.
My theory to your question.
We are adjourned.